Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The Nevada State Treasurer, Zach Conine, is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
In Nevada, we know Senator Cortez Masto, and she knows us. She knows we shouldn't pay up to three times more for our prescription drugs than people in other countries. She knows we shouldn't have to choose between buying groceries and paying for the medicines we depend on. And she knows we can lower excessive drug prices by letting Medicare negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. Senator Cortez Masto, keep up the fight. Keep putting Nevada first.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome to the program in person, together for the first time, you and I, Zach Conine. He's the Nevada State Treasurer. A pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Happy to be here. Happy to be in person with you, finally.
Yes. So let's start out with a silly thing.
Okay.
Your qualifications to be state treasurer.
Well, that's quite a question. So the state treasurer serves primarily as the state's chief investment officer. Right, there's what we call traditionally treasury functions, things like cash, investments, and debt, and that's the background I come from. Right, so I have an operational background. I used to work at a property called the Golden Nugget in downtown Las Vegas. I went to the hotel school at Cornell, and after that, I worked at a private equity company. I worked at an investment company, what we would typically call a hedge fund, right, long, short, generalists, and learned how markets work. But more importantly, we learned about the value of investing, what investing means at its core. And that's taking a little bit of something and making it a little bit more over time. And that's what we do in the Treasury. Not just that we've had the state's highest investment returns ever, or we've achieved the state's highest credit rating ever, but what we've been able to do is work to fix government. Piece by piece, bit by bit, all those little friction points that can be frustrating to people, we've worked with the governor and the legislature and the rest to both identify them and sort them out.
Okay, what rate of return have you been getting?
So we've been getting a rate
make us cry for those of us that are getting half of a percent.
Well, so remember, in the state treasury, our first rule is not losing money,
right?
Because the money that we've got is your money. It's money that's come in through taxes. And our intention is always to make sure that we beat our benchmarks, which we do to the tune of about 10% off of our benchmarks. But our benchmarks are, of course, relatively low as yields continue to fall, right? So most of what we invest in are things like fixed incomes, agencies, treasuries, right? Where the risk of default is minuscule and the return is obviously small relatively. In our college savings portfolio, which is much more equity heavy, we run more than $26 billion with our partners, Vanguard, USAA, and others. That's had returns that have well exceeded benchmarks. We actually had one quarter this year that exceeded 40% in one of our
40%?
Yeah.
Well, no, exceeded the benchmark, not a 40% rate of return.
No, 40% rate of return.
40% rate
Correct.
Of return.
Now, the market's been on fire, and I think what's important here is that we don't look at how you're doing just compared to that moment. You look at how you're doing compared to benchmarks, and you look at how you're doing compared to the expectations. And in all of our funds, our focus first is always going to be on making sure that that capital's there when people need it. Because the money we're investing, and I keep going back to this, our job is to protect it. The money that we're investing is money that goes to pay for salaries for state employees. It's money that goes to pay for roads and bridges. It's money that goes to pay
okay.
for schools.
But I mean, are you talking an average return of say 5% or is it less than that?
It depends on the portfolio. So our general portfolio, which is sort of the bonds, the fixed income, the how we pay our bills, is less than 5%, has been less than 5% for a long time. Our equity portfolios, which is things like college savings, places where we have a longer window, right? Where we know if a child is 5 years old, they're probably gonna go to school in 13 years, right? And so because we've got partners like Vanguard, USAA, and others, they're able to invest that over a longer period of time, which means a higher equity component. Most of what we invest in is controlled by the state's investment policy, which is controlled by Nevada Revised Statute, which is controlled by the Nevada Constitution.
All right, let's go to another subject here. We have seen and are going to continue to see a ton of money coming into the state. Can you just list off how much we've received from the federal government so far and what you are anticipating? Because some of it is still going through the process. The House has not voted on the latest plan.
So it's a lot, right?
It's huge.
And it's a lot because of the need that's here in Nevada. Right? Nation's highest unemployment rate for a period of time, massive job loss in southern Nevada, job loss in northern Nevada, although of course northern Nevada is a little bit more diversified and weathered the storm a little bit better, right? A little less focused on tourism. But we received the CARES Act, which was passed in March and then received in April of 2020. And that had a lot of money that went directly to things like testing and tracing, money that went to making sure we could fight the initial health crisis. It also
and,
came.
And dollar amount.
So the full CARES Act was a couple of billion dollars in the state when you take all of those different buckets. And I think this is where it's really important to talk about the complexity, right? Because it's not just the money that comes directly to the state, like the $836 million we received from the coronavirus relief funds. It's also money that's going directly to counties, money that's going to cities, money that's going to non-entitlement units, which are effectively cities that fall under a certain threshold of population. But it's also dollars that are coming in for specific programs, right? So we had the CARES Act, we had the December bill, which was the Consolidated Appropriations Act of December 2020. We usually just call it the December bill because it doesn't have a clever acronym. That brought in more money for emergency rental assistance and other programs.
How much was that?
So that bill in total was a couple of billion dollars into the state, including the direct stimulus, and about $200 million that came in through ERA-1, which is the emergency rental assistance, the second tranche of that money. And then we have the one that everyone's talking about now and the one that we're spending most of our time on, which is the American Rescue Plan Act. The American Rescue Plan Act was signed on March 15th and includes $6.7 billion direct to the state, locals, and to programmatic pieces, and also includes money that doesn't go directly to the state. So $3.7 billion to Nevadans for direct stimulus payments, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars for the child tax care credit, money to buy down the exchange, the additional $300 in federal pandemic unemployment compensation that expires on September 6th, right? So you've got all of those buckets and $6.7 billion, and that's why we're going on this 75-day, 75-event Nevada Recovers Listening Tour.
What is the annual budget for Nevada as appropriated by the state plus what the feds send us?
So what?
Just to give us some perspective on how big 6.7.
So the piece appropriated by the states is about 4.2. So we're talking about 150% of our annual budget. But the complexity, I think, is where we really get into where it gets a little clever here, right? Because that $6.7 billion is in 105 different buckets that we've identified so far. One of those buckets is the $2.7 billion I was wired on June 4th. It was a Friday. That's obviously a great time to get in money if you're trying to invest. Friday at noon, my investment team was kind of rushing a little bit. Market closes at 1.
you had a whole hour.
Build a little bit of character. I actually came in 12:15, but I like to give the federal government a little credit there. The cities and counties and non-entitlement units will get about 1.04, and the delta there between 6.7 and the two numbers I just listed is about 2.9. And that 2.9 is in 103 different programs, ranging from about $80,000 for elder abuse prevention, $160,000 for paratransit, $330 million for childcare, more than $1 billion for K-12 education, $200 million for higher education, $92 million for economic development. And each of those programs and plans has their own set of rules, requirements, timelines, and ways that we have to figure out how to spend the money.
And isn't that one of the big conundrums in trying to explain to the public how things work in Congress, is that the power is not so much with the legislators. Yes, they get to pass the bills with the spending. The president gets to sign it, but it's the regulators who are really the most powerful, because they tell you exactly how that's supposed to be spent, correct?
Well, and I think the legislature generally, right, knows that because they aren't going to keep touching the process along the way, that turning it over to the day-to-day staffers, for instance, Treasury is managing a lot of the money, federal Treasury is managing a lot of money that comes out of the state, the federal government, makes sense, right? Because they're there every day and they can course correct. And that's something that we've seen a lot with this administration, especially compared to the last administration. Course correction and communication is happening all the time. So we'll get reaches out from the White House, from federal Treasury, and they'll say, how is this pool of money working, right? Is it getting out as quickly as you need? Is the flexibility what you wanted it to be? Are there things we can clarify? And then they're adjusting, right? Now, that adjustment, of course, creates its own conundrum, because sometimes the rules change on you in the middle of the game. But it's good that they're taking feedback and following it through. To wit, that $2.7 billion has 150 pages of interim final rule. Now, it's an interim final rule, so by definition, it's not the final rule. It also has 40 pages up to 40 pages now of FAQs, which have been amended a dozen times since they were released on May 17th.
All right, so do you have the staffing to be able to deal with all this?
No, absolutely not, which is why we're bringing on the resources necessary. And part of the guidance is very clear that states should use this money in order to expand, in our case, temporarily, the staff necessary in order to manage the process. Now, some states have really strong and resilient grants offices, right? We have a relatively small grants office that works really hard, but can't handle an inflow of $6.7 billion, right? And so we are expanding the teams. We're bringing in consultants to help us with two main functions. One, the stakeholder engagement piece. That's part of that 75-day tour we're on right now. And then second, the mapping. Because we've got to take all of these ideas, all of these hopes and dreams of Nevadans, all the things that the legislature wants to get done, the governor wants to get done, the Supreme Court wants to get done, local governments want to get done, and connect them to the most restricted pool of capital. We use the gift card analogy a lot, right? If you're in a store and you have a gift card for that store, you want to make sure you spend it as opposed to spending cash, because you can't spend that gift card at another store. And so connecting the different ideas that are coming in, the different needs of Nevadans with the different buckets of capital is going to be a Herculean task. I've got a great staff, but we're going to need help.
All right. So I've used this analogy before, but back at the beginning, or actually before Jim Gibbons was elected, there was a $6 billion shortfall at DOT, or at NDOT, rather. And I talked to somebody, one of the advisors at the time, and he said, you know, if you were to get $6 billion and give it to NDOT, they couldn't spend it because, A, you don't have the people to be able to function to make that work, but also every street in Nevada would have a cone on it and people would be driven insane. Are we facing a similar situation with this amount of money, which is about half that, you know, to where, you know, we can't spend this all at once, or can we?
Well, we can't spend it all at once, and frankly, we're not supposed to spend it all at once. So most of the money has a timeline on it where it's supposed to be allocated by December 31st of 2024. It's supposed to be spent by December 31st of 2026. And in talking to the White House and the Treasury often, one of the things that is most clear is that the goal of this money is to be intentional, to solve systemic long-term issues, to invest as opposed to spend. The governor said this when he kicked it off.
All right, so and forgive me, not everybody listens to every speech that the governor makes, so that's why I want to talk to you about it. So you're looking at spending this over a long period of time rather than one-shot deals. The concern from some people is that if you have ongoing programs, that when this federal money runs out, then Nevadans are going to be asked to step up and continue these programs. Is that a concern for you? Is that something under discussion?
And let me clarify, we're supposed to spend the money over a period of time. That doesn't mean we spend the money on ongoing services that create unfunded mandates later on. What it does mean is that we don't have to rush this money out the door. And so the comparison that I would make is kind of the difference between this and what we were dealing with under the coronavirus relief funds. So the coronavirus relief funds hit our bank in late April. We had to spend them all out the door by December 31st of the year that we received them. Right, kind of this 8-month struggle and rush to spend dollars. This is not what ARPA is about. And so the governor is very, very focused. I'm very, very focused on not creating long-term projects that don't have revenue streams attached to them, which takes longer, right? Because we know that there are some things that we can invest in one time that do have ongoing federal streams, and those federal streams have always been there. We've just never had the capital to invest in the sort of the hard asset, right, that you need. Federally qualified health centers and connected behavioral sports centers are a great example of that. There are Medicaid dollars available to support them, but you have to build them. And in the past, we haven't had the budget capacity to build them. And so that's how we're looking at it. What he said in that speech, and I would encourage everyone, of course, to watch every speech of the governor's and every speech
Absolutely.
Of mine. I mean, just, you know, it's a good use of time. It's a civic duty. He said,
we'll take a short pause here for a little amusement on the other end of this. Right. Go ahead.
He said, spending is easy and investing is hard. And that's right. It's easy to put out programs really quickly. It's easy to just take money and hand it to folks. But we have an opportunity here, and I would argue we actually have more than that. We have a sacred obligation to make sure we get it right. This is more money than the state's ever going to get from one time with the federal government, knock on wood, because people died to get here, right? And so we have an obligation to them and to their families and frankly to our children who are going to be paying for this to make sure we invest this money correctly.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with the state treasurer, Zach Conine, after this timeout.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hooligan in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Zach Conine. He is the Nevada State Treasurer. One of the things that we have seen as an issue for people coming back to work, and has obviously been an issue for decades, maybe going back to the 60s when women really were pushed into the workforce by choice, is childcare. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at as regards childcare? What are you hearing? And what are you as a state looking at doing towards helping people with childcare? Because it makes absolutely no sense that somebody is making $17 an hour and paying $15 an hour for childcare.
It's absolutely right. And I think, you know, child care is something that's pretty close to my heart, right? I've got a seven-year-old daughter who's back in second grade in person this year. We've got 2 4-year-old boys, right, who we have to pay for child care. My wife works, I work, as is the life of most civil servants. And we know how difficult it is to pay, and we have resources, right? When we talk to friends and family when we're out talking on the tour, on the 75-day listening tour, the need for childcare, not just money to pay for childcare, but actual childcare, like cannot find a facility, or if you can find a facility, you can't get into it.
Okay, and let me just stop you there for a second, because this is an important topic. Yep. I've talked to a couple of people who are looking at investing in businesses, and I said to them, you know, it strikes me that getting into childcare would be a great business to get into because obviously there's a huge need. And the reaction was, whoa, no, there's too much red tape, too many problems, too much investment required. So is this something that the state wants to get into in terms of a structure? Because right now, we're asking so much of school teachers and the school system that people will be offended if I said that part of it is childcare, but let's face it, it is part of childcare. But we need to have a system that actually functions as a childcare system that is not just loading something more onto teachers.
Well, I'll start with, we've always asked too much of teachers. My mom's an English teacher. It's too much asked of her 40 years ago, right, when she was in the New York public school system. There's too much asked of teachers now. The state's role here, I think, can be helping with some of the investment that allows child care to expand. And we received $330 million, the gift cards I refer to, in a number of different gift cards. One of those was accepted the other day by the legislature through the Interim Finance Committee process. We are getting through NevadaRecovers.com, this is a shameless plug, but through NevadaRecovers.com, where people are able to submit ideas for how we should spend this federal funding, we're getting dozens of ideas that are about childcare. When we were out in Yerington, we heard about childcare. When we were in Fernley, we heard about childcare. When we were in Henderson, we heard about childcare. We're hearing about childcare a lot, and that will obviously
be— Is it the number one issue?
I don't know if I would say it's the number one issue, but it's in the top three. We hear a lot of childcare. We hear a lot about affordable housing is a big issue. I think that's probably the number one, at least from a quantity of responses, and we hear a lot about mental health. Now, the good thing is we've got $6.7 billion, and I'm sure the legislature and the governor are going to be able to use that to solve some of these issues.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with the state treasurer after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Zach Conine. He's the Nevada State Treasurer. I wanted to ask you about blockchain technology, okay? We had the Washoe County Recorder on the program a couple of years ago, and she was talking about using blockchain technology in her office and how successful that was working. Are you working on potential blockchain technology use in your office? And if so, where are you with it?
So in the treasurer's office, we're pretty regulatorily controlled, right? And so we do things under both our investment policies, we do things under regulation, we do things under statute. And our systems are expensive. And like many other systems in the state, they're a little bit long in the tooth, right? And we really saw this during the pandemic. There were some systems that we were counting on that just didn't work.
Okay, yeah, our systems are out of date. It's ridiculous.
Right. And now that's one of the opportunities we have in front of us, right, through the $6.7 billion is fixing some of those systems. Legislature made the first step during the session when they made the decision to spend more than $50 million.
Okay, because we've only got less than a minute.
Yeah.
I just want to handle the blockchain.
And so my point there is, I think blockchain technology is a technology that should be considered as we are replacing these systems. I see it as a tool within a larger set of tools in order to fix problems. The goal is not to move to blockchain. The goal is to move to better systems. And in a lot of places, blockchain technology is that better system.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it. Please come back. There's so much more to talk about. I'd love to hear some of the other ideas that people are throwing at you, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I'm sure. But thank you for coming in. It's been very informative.
Thank you. I hope everyone goes to NevadaRecovers.com.
And listens to every speech the governor has made.
Obviously.
We'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at BrianCulpaPhotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.